Mr. Daniels tells him, and I'm shocked enough to glance at East, who shakes his head at me. Shit, that's what the protection ward was for. Now that I think about it, I remember seeing a note on my phone last night about reading up on the protection ward for the class. Whoops. The rest of you, get back into the circle. Please remember to use the protection ward, he says, and I hear a few snickers around me. Great. It won't be long until this gets around the school too, I bet. I walk away towards Mr. Daniels' cabin, which is thankfully not far. I wonder if any of my classes are going to go normally. Chapter 21. Kenzie. Here, the key is under the pot. Mr. Daniels showed me it last night, I say when East tries to open the door to Mr. Daniels' cabin. The cabin is far outside the school, practically in the middle of the woods and a far distance from the other teachers' cabins. I wonder why he wanted to be so alone out here. I pick the plant pot up and pull the key out, handing it to East, who opens the door to the cabin. I walk in after East, admiring how nice Mr. Daniels' cabin is on the inside. It has a modern leather sofa and a large fireplace with a big TV above it. There is a big fur rug in front of the fire, which is thick and looks real. I didn't get a chance to look around much last night, so I walk over to the picture frames on the fireplace. There is a picture of a young girl who looks about 8 in the picture. She looks so familiar, with her brown hair and green eyes, but I can't place where I've seen her before. There's another picture of an old couple that are clearly his parents, as the man in the picture looks just like Mr. Daniels. I quickly glance around the rest of the room, not seeing many other personal effects. There is a small pile of books on the window ledge, but that's it.
He has a nice place, East comments, and I look over to see him walk into the small kitchen.
There are 5 rooms, 2 bedrooms, the lounge, the kitchen, and a large bathroom. It's cozy and strange to think I'm going to be living here with Mr. Daniels for the rest of the year. My attraction to him is only getting worse, and being around him all the time is going to be a nightmare. I'm going to get dressed, I tell East, gesturing down at my body dressed only in his shirt. I turn to go to the guest room when he grabs my arm and stops me. I pause and look up at him quizzically.
Kenz, he whispers, staring back down at me.
I feel heat rush through me from the intensity of his gaze. I'm not able to shift my mind from our kiss yesterday, or the fact he saw me completely naked just minutes ago. I wonder if he liked what he saw. Fuck. What? I managed to mumble back, taking note of the fact he looks so much better minus his shirt. Maybe I'll just keep it. I'd be doing the world a public service. Shirtless, East and black. Thank me later, world.
You didn't do that on purpose, did you?
He asks gently, but I feel like I've been slapped or had a bucket of ice thrown over me. He couldn't be serious.
What?
I just embarrassed myself in front of our entire class. Why the hell would you think I did that on purpose? He flinches from the bite in my words, pulling back.
I don't know, Kenz. Maybe to get Mr. Daniels' attention, he says, not looking me in the eyes anymore.
You think I need to throw myself naked at someone to get their attention? I ask him incredulously.
No, shit. Kenz, you're taking this all wrong, he mutters, running a hand through his hair.
I'm taking this wrong. You're accusing me of jumping naked onto our teacher for attention, or what? To seduce him? You think I'm trying to sleep with my teacher? I question him, narrowing my eyes. He looks back at me silently, his eyes telling me all I need to know.
You know what, East? Get out, I say, gesturing at the door. Kenz, wait, I think I said get out, I shout, losing my temper.
I feel my marks start to respond to my emotional distress without my calling them. The room shakes, and several objects are hovering above their rightful places.
Kenzie, just breathe a minute, he says softly,
stepping towards me slowly, as if approaching a skittish animal.
You need to calm down.
He really didn't just say that, right? And you need to leave. You know what? Maybe I do want to take my clothes off with Mr. Daniels, but I'm not really sure if that's any of your business. I snap.
His head snaps up, and he looks me right in the eyes. I don't look away from him as he stares at me, but I hear things breaking around the room, and the ground starts lightly shaking.
Fine, I'm going.
Shit, maybe I went too far. He walks to the door and then pauses, turning back to face me.
I'm gonna need my shirt, but I can wait a minute,
he says, leaning against the door. Without hesitation, I pull his shirt off over my head and throw it at him. Standing completely naked as I glare in his direction, he gapes at me, holding the shirt in his hands.
Well, he said he wanted his shirt back. You can go now. Don't forget to shut the door behind you, I say, turning around and storming into the guest room, slamming the door behind me.
I lean my back against it, breathing in and out deeply, trying to calm myself down. I hear the main door to the cabin slam shut and cringe from the harsh sound of it.
He left. Well, what do you expect, dumbass? You told him to go.
I put my head in my hands and groan, rubbing at my temples. Why do I have to go and open my mouth like that? After a while, my breathing returns to normal, and I feel my powers retreat. Thank gods for that. I move from the door and rummage through my bags for clothes, having not unpacked yet from moving in here. I pull out a red lace-matching set of underwear and pull it on quickly. I hear the front door open and close again. Fucking East. I turn around and shove open the guest room door, storming out into the main living area.
East, I thought I told you to...
My words are cut off as I spot who has actually entered into the cabin.
Kenzie, I would have thought you would have had time to put clothes on by now.
Enzo teases, not looking away. I roll my eyes. I can't even be bothered to be embarrassed anymore. My whole class, my hot teacher, and Easton have already seen me butt naked today. What's a little walking around in my underwear going to hurt now?
I thought you were East, I mutter, walking over to the open-planned kitchen area to grab a drink.
Maybe Mr. Daniels has something a little stronger in here somewhere.
Do you always greet East in your underwear?
He asks. Funny. What are you even doing here anyway, Enzo? I ask, checking the fridge first.
I was sent here to keep an eye on you. Mr. Daniels still has a class to teach, and they don't want you wandering around alone, he says and shrugs.
So they sent another student in to watch me? I ask dubiously.
Not just any student, their best student,
he replies, following me into the kitchen area. He hops onto the counter, taking a seat there as I continue to search. I huff.
Sure. Not even a tiny bit egotistical there at all, are you?
I ask, rolling my eyes.
I'm not. It's a fact. I could have already finished and left this place if I wanted to. As it is, I'm set to finish this year instead of next,
he replies, not an ounce of exaggeration in his voice. Whatever, I mutter as I open the last cupboard and spot a glass bottle hiding in the back. Bingo. I pull out the bottle of vodka and place it on the kitchen side, and go in search of glasses. I'm sure I just saw them.
What are you doing?
Enzo questions.
What does it look like, Mr. Know-it-all?
I question back sarcastically, as I place a couple of frosted, coloured glasses on the kitchen side.
How do you want it?
Straight, I guess,
he mutters. I roll my eyes. Typical macho attitude. I pour some vodka into each glass and top mine up with some Pepsi from the fridge. I hand a glass to him. He takes it, clinking it against mine.
Cheers,
I mutter.
What are we drinking to?
He asks, amusement colouring his tone.
Embarrassment,
I reply wryly, before downing half my drink in one go. He drinks some of his.
I lift mine back up and finish it off, going to pour myself another.
Slow down,
he comments, knocking back some more of his own.
What? Worried you can't keep up?
I tease. I down another drink, then I grab the vodka, Pepsi, and my glass, and head into the main living room area. I sink down onto the leather sofa, feeling the cool material clinging against my bare skin. I can already feel a light buzz hitting me. Enzo takes the spot next to me, sitting much closer than he really needs to, his eyes running over me constantly. Two can play at that game, buddy. I turn in my spot on the sofa, stretching my bare legs out across his. I take a swig straight from the bottle, trying not to show the burn I feel on my throat as it makes its way down. I hand the bottle to Enzo, who silently takes a swig too, before handing it back.
You want to talk about it?
He asks. Not really, I mutter.
What do you want to do then?
He asks, the slight curve to his sensual lips giving me all kinds of bad ideas. I wonder what kind of ideas are going through his head.
I don't know,
I answer, before taking another swig. The burn is slightly less noticeable this time, which can only mean one thing.
I think you know,
he replies, looking down at me. His dark eyes are staring at me intently. He's really putting in no effort to hide his visual pursuit of my body. Well, if he's going to keep staring, I might as well have some fun with this. Tease him a little.
What do you think I want?
I ask seductively. I move over him, sliding a leg on either side of him, so I'm straddling his lap. He visibly swallows. I can feel his body responding to me. Or maybe he's been like that since he walked in and found me half naked.
Kenzie,
he breathes.
What?
I whisper, running a hand down the front of his body absently. Feeling his toned body, I almost forget my plan. He groans as I reach the top of his jeans. I brush my fingers lightly over the edge of the waistband. Leaning down against him, I put my lips to his ear, brushing them against his earlobe lightly.
Stop staring. It's not gonna happen,
I whisper. I pull back slightly and meet his eyes. I'm sure smugness is painted across my face, as realization crosses his. He narrows his dark eyes on me and opens his mouth to say something when the door opens. It lets a gust of chilly air into the cabin. I feel it hit my skin, as well as the gaze of the person who opened the door.
What the fuck is going on in here, Enzo? Miss Crow?
Mr. Daniels' voice calls into the cabin. His eyes take in the bottle of vodka on the floor next to the sofa, the two glasses on the table in front of us, and me, sitting half-naked on Enzo's lap. Great. Just damn fucking peachy.
I can explain,
I say, turning slightly to face him, feeling the heat rise into my cheeks. Enzo leans back and begins laughing.
Shut up,
I mutter. I slide off him and stand up, wrapping my arms around my body self-consciously. Is he really going to make me stand here half-naked and explain? Or can I go grab some clothes first?
Well?
He asks, crossing his arms and raising an eyebrow.
Well...
I trail off, trying to think of some kind of explanation for what he walked in on. I'm sorry, sir. I just figured after embarrassing myself in front of the whole class by getting naked and jumping on you, followed by arguing with Easton that getting drunk with Enzo in my underwear was a great idea. It sounds terrible even to me.
I'm waiting,
he drawls.
Enzo, what about you? Any explanation?
You don't hide your booze well enough, he mutters, but I'm standing close enough to catch it.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Mr. Daniels asks.
Nothing, sir. Just remarking how chilly Kenzie must be with you leaving the door open. Maybe she should go finish getting dressed.
Enzo asks. A wash of gratitude hits me. I really don't deserve him being nice after that. Turning back, I shoot him a grateful smile before looking again at Mr. Daniels, who is staring at me, deciding what to do. Or maybe he's... No, not today, Satan. I shut that thought up before it can finish forming.
Fine, Miss Crow, please go finish getting dressed. We can talk about this in a minute. Enzo, please come outside with me for a moment,
he finally says. Letting out a breath, I turn and make my way into the guest room. I catch Enzo's eyes as I'm closing the door, but I'm not able to read the look in them. Just what is he thinking?
Chapter 22. Enzo. Go on, then. I wave a hand at Mr. Daniels as he stops outside the cabin and slams the door shut, resting his head against it. I know I'm going to get a lecture on behavior or whatever else he has planned. I look over at him, wanting to know how angry he is, but the defeated look he's wearing confuses me. There's a long, uncomfortable silence, and I look back through the cabin window, catching a glance of Kenzie as she walks towards the bedroom, the lacy red underwear turning me on. She is something else, and I don't think I've ever liked a girl as much as I like her. I remember the first time I saw her, walking down the middle of the hall with determined eyes and wet hair. She was beautiful. But that wasn't the only thing I liked. She didn't care what anyone said, what anyone thought about her. Miss Crow doesn't need these kinds of distractions. Mr. Daniels starts off, and I just smirk at him as I lean against the cabin. When I got the message in class from the teacher that Mr. Daniels needed me to watch Kenzie, I was curious why he sent me. I doubt he knew how close I was getting to Kenzie, and I saw East stomping through the woods away from the cabin. I think he didn't trust East around her alone. You might as well call her Kenzie. We both know you're bullshitting me that she is just a student to you, I say, knowing that he won't lie to me. I've been friends with him since we were kids. Our parents lived near each other, and he was the big kid I looked up to and followed around. Eventually he got bored of me annoying him and took me under his wing. I know him too well, and the look he gave Kenzie in there was a look I've seen plenty of times with his past girlfriends. While I'm here, she is my student, he tells me, confirming my thoughts that he likes her. I wonder if Kenzie realizes how much. Why are you here? I ask him, and he shrugs, looking away. It doesn't make any sense. When he finished the academy 2 years ago, he was the highest ranking marked in years. It didn't surprise me, as I know how powerful he is with his 8 marks. It was a surprise when I got more marks than him, and he helped me master them all quickly, the ones he could, anyway. But I know he passed everything with flying colors and was given a job with the council. Everyone, including me, knew he would get the place on the council, even with the issues with his sister, how he let her go, and now she is with the rogues. I grew up with her around, too, and never guessed how she felt about the rebels, how she wanted to be one. To watch Kenzie. I was sent here to guard her, the council sent me. She is too important, he says, and I nod, looking back into the empty room. It makes a lot of sense, considering no one knows what the 12th power is, or if it's controllable at all. I bet the council want to make sure Kenzie can be controlled, and the best way to do that is to send a young, powerful, and good-looking teacher to stalk her. I can't help but wonder if they want them to get close. An easy way to have more control of her. Can you guard her without being jealous? I ask him, and he narrows his eyes at me. I'm not jealous of anyone, he says bluntly, and I just laugh quietly, watching as he gets more annoyed. We can both have her. Just a thought, I tell him as I walk down the cabin steps and into the woods. I don't expect him to reply to me, but he does. His voice is quiet, but I still catch it. Not yet. Just 2 words that speak a lot more than they should, but I understand the meaning behind them anyway. Not turning to look at him, I walk away into the woods and follow the path back to the school. I pull the back door of the school open, waiting for 2 girls to walk through and then close it behind me. I walk up the stairs to my room, needing to find my phone and then get to my elective class. I open my room, surprised to see East and Logan in there. They are playing Xbox and talking quietly. The room looks like a tip on one side, clothes everywhere, and I like mine neat. I pick up a few of Logan's shirts as I walk past and chuck them into the washing basket by the door. Thank gods for the cleaners and their insistence on washing all our clothes every night. They are always back, neatly folded in the morning. "Don't you have class?" Logan asks as I shake my head. "I had to stay with Kenzie until Mr. Daniels came back," I say, deciding not to explain that I had her half-naked on my lap, and she knows how much she turned me on. It took everything in me not to kiss her and fuck her on Mr. Daniels' couch. Now that would have made him mad, had I slept with Kenzie before he can even make a move. East turns to look at me, looking stressed. "I fucked it up with her. Was she still mad?" he asks. "So that's why she was like that. East pissed her off. It makes some sense. If you call walking around in just your underwear and getting drunk on vodka mad, then yeah," I answer, and he groans, running his hand through his hair. I thought she might have shifted back naked in front of Mr. Daniels on purpose. I've seen plenty of girls do it before her, but they didn't jump on him first," he says. What an idiot. "You did what?" Logan asks before whacking him on the arm. "Fuck, that hurt, and yeah, I know. I'm surprised she didn't do more than just throw me out. I regretted my words the minute I said them," East says, both his voice and face turning glum. "Kenzie isn't like the rest of the girls. I don't know her well and didn't grow up with her like you did, but I know she wouldn't do that. She isn't like that," I tell him. "I know because she didn't kiss me or throw herself at me like every girl usually does. It gets boring after a while, and Kenzie is anything but boring, and East seems to realize this. He has as many girls throwing themselves at him as I do in this damn place. Being that there are more guys born than girls seems to make the girls here think they can fuck any guy, and that guy's lucky to have them. Which isn't true, but most of the girls around here have personalities like pampered princesses. Fuck, I should go and say sorry or something," East says, turning off the Xbox and putting the controller down. "You're gonna have to do more than that. You need a big gesture," Logan says, and East shrugs. "Like what?" East replies as I sit down on the bed. "Something big and romantic, like in the human movies," Logan suggests. I sit and listen to their insane plan and don't make any suggestions. Kenzie can tease me all she likes, but this will be amusing to watch as a comeback. The best part is, it isn't even me doing it.
Chapter 23. Kenzie. "Would you like pasta for dinner? I can make you some," Mr. Daniels says gently as I come into the kitchen a few moments after getting dressed in jeans and a thick, long-sleeved jumper. I tried to choose something that covered me the most, feeling that I've been naked enough today. I still feel a little drunk, but the whole getting caught by your teacher, half-naked on a couch with a hot guy, has a way of sobering you up. I nod, confused why he isn't shouting at me, and watch as he moves around the kitchen, pulling out pans and food. I expected a massive lecture about underage drinking and what it looked like I was doing with Enzo on his couch. I mean, he invited me into his home, and I do that on the next day. I feel like such a bitch and seriously guilty over it. "Can I help?" I ask him, and he looks over his shoulder for a second, his eyes meeting mine and then turning back.
"You could grate the cheese," he offers,
pointing a finger towards a plate and grater he has gotten out. I pick them up and get the cheese out of the fridge before starting to grate the cheese like he asked. There's an uncomfortable silence between us that just seems to go on before I cave in and blurt out, "I'm sorry for today, all of it. I know you must think I'm an irresponsible brat or something, but I swear it won't happen again. I just seem to have a habit of messing things up, and I get it if you don't want to speak to me."
"What happened today made me realize something,"
he starts to say and then clears his throat, putting down the pasta packet he was opening. Mr. Daniels walks over to me, resting his hip on the counter and crossing his arms. He stares at me for a long time before uncrossing his arms and tucking a bit of hair behind my ear, his fingers grazing across my cheek. "Yes?" I ask, my voice a little bit too high-pitched.
He goes to say something when the door is banged on a few times, and he closes his mouth, annoyance written all over his face. "I'll get it," I say, moving away and feeling his eyes burning a hole through my back as I walk to the door. I pull it open, and Kelly is standing there, smiling widely. She looks lovely, in a white coat and her blonde hair up in some complicated bun. I've really got to ask her to do my hair at some point.
"So, Naked Kenzie, I think we need to talk," she says, and I laugh.
So, she heard, which means everyone must be talking about it. Great. Just fucking great. "Come on in," I say, holding the door open. She walks in and looks around for a second, just before Mr. Daniels walks over.
"Kelly, right?"
he asks, holding out a hand, and she shakes it.
"Yes, I just came to say hello to Kenzie and catch up," she says.
"Sure. Why don't you show her your room and I'll keep cooking. Kelly, would you like some pasta for dinner?"
he asks, and she nods.
"Are you sure you don't need any help?"
I ask him, still wondering what he was going to say to me earlier.
"No,"
he says, moving away and back to the kitchen. I hook my arm in Kelly's and walk us down towards my room, pushing the door open. The room is simple, with blue sheets on a single bed and matching dark blue curtains. There's another fur rug in here, and a wardrobe with a matching chest of drawers. I still need to get some more of my things from my old room, but I managed to get most of it in here. Kelly goes in and sits on the bed as I shut the door.
"So?"
she asks, raising her eyebrows as she trails off. I don't know where to start. So much has happened in the last 24 hours, and I haven't a clue how to explain it all. Sexy East kissed me, then saw me naked in the bath. Then the twins also saw me naked in the bath. Then I shifted back naked on top of Mr. Daniels, and in front of the whole class. And then East was a dick to me, despite the fact he has seen me naked twice now. Then Enzo and I got drunk, like vodka from the bottle drunk.
"There's a whole lot of naked in that statement,"
Kelly says, her eyes widening, and it makes me laugh.
"Yeah, I don't think I've been naked this much since I was a baby,"
I reply.
"So, naked on top of Mr. Daniels, was that fun?"
she asks jokingly, waggling her eyebrows. "Totally. The whole class staring and laughing at me really set the mood," I answer.
"Do you think it's going to make this awkward, you staying here with him?"
she asks, her voice turning more serious. "It's beyond awkward. But hey, maybe I'll catch him naked sometime," I joke.
"If you do, do the world a favor and commit the view to perfect memory, and then recount it for me. I'm living my relationship life vicariously through you. I'm relying on you here," she teases.
"I don't know why," I mutter.
"There's just nobody here for me,"
she says and sighs dramatically, lying back on my bed.
"Come off it, Kels. You know there are plenty of guys in the academy who would be interested in you,"
I reply, sitting on the edge of the bed with my back against the wall.
"Not the right ones,"
she mumbles, throwing an arm over her eyes.
"What's that supposed to mean? You have a particular guy in mind?" I ask.
"No?
What would make you think that?"
she asks, a little too quickly.
"Kelly Kerwood, you vixen! Who is this man, and why haven't I been told all the details?"
I ask her.
"Nobody,"
she says, again too quickly.
"Oh my God, I know him, right? I must if you won't tell me,"
I say.
"There's nobody. You're being ridiculous,"
Kelly replies.
"Sure. What's Mr. Nobody's name, Kels?"
I ask her.
"There's really no..."
"I will tickle the information out of you," I say seriously, cutting her off. She moves her hand from over her face and looks me dead in the eye.
"You wouldn't,"
she says.
"Try me,"
I reply sweetly.
"Fine,"
she says, and then sighs.
"There is someone." "I knew it,"
I exclaim.
"But it's complicated. He wouldn't want me now anyway,"
she says, her voice sounding defeated.
Why wouldn't he? I ask. Because I have two marks. Just two. He's got way more and is way too good for me, she mutters. The amount of marks you have doesn't matter, Kells, I say to her softly, squishing in to lie beside her. We kissed once, me and the guy, she says. It comes across wistful. When was that? I ask curiously, dying to get some more information out of her. It's not like Kelly to be so lock-lipped about this kind of thing. Months ago, she sighs. It only happened once, and he didn't seem that interested after, she says. Wait, you've been crushing a mystery man for months and haven't told me? I ask. Maybe, she says, trailing off as she looks away. Who is he? I ask, feeling even more curious now. She goes to answer when a knock comes at the door.
Dinner's ready,
Mr. Daniel's voice calls through the door. Now that he mentions it, I can definitely smell the scent of the food slipping through the gaps in the door. You may be saved by my desire for food right now, but you are going to give me all the juicy information later. Got it? I say to Kelly. Fine, she grumbles, but she doesn't meet my eyes as she says it. But first, let's go eat lots of pasta, I reply lightly, letting her off the hook for now. I feel my stomach grumble in agreement as I stand. At least something is communicating properly with me. I watch Kelly as she stands and heads toward the door. She's hiding something more than just a name, and I intend to find out what. Chapter 24. Kenzie.
Welcome to Earth Class, Miss Crow. Nice to see you're keeping with what I've heard from the other teachers, a small lady says as I approach her and the rest of the class, who are sitting on the ground in the middle of a clearing in the woods. Did they really have to make all my classes so hard to find? I take a better look at the teacher. She's a small woman, no more than 5 foot, with a tiny frame to match. Her hair is tied back in a neat professional bun, and her clothing looks more like a secretary than an Earth power teacher.
Sorry, miss. I'm not sure what you mean, I ask as I take a seat on the floor next to Logan.
I smile at Logan, and he looks at me pityingly.
Crap, what now?
You are 15 minutes late, Miss Crow. It's nice to know that you are at least consistent. That being said, I do hope you don't intend to remove your clothes during this class, too, she says.
A few snickers come from other students. I try to think of a retort when I feel Logan nudging me in the side. I turn and look at him. He shakes his head slightly. Shutting up it is, I guess.
Sorry for being late, I mumble. I'm sure, she says sarcastically. Now, seeing as you missed the beginning of my introduction, I'm wondering what you can tell me about the Earthmark and what it can do, or will I need to repeat that information for you? She asks me.
The Earthmark is one of the most versatile marks. It can be used both as a simple control over natural matter, like moving rocks, or it can be used in stuff like helping plants grow or curing the rot from a tree, I answer.
She stares at me for a moment, as if surprised by my answer, before turning back to the class as a whole and continuing to lecture on the topic.
How did you know that? Logan whispers. One of my mum's most powerful marks is Earth. You should see our garden,
I answer quietly, before turning back to listen to the teacher.
Now, class, I would first like to focus on the more nature-focused aspect of this mark.
She grabs a black bag from the ground next to her and pulls out some flowers, dead-looking flowers.
No prizes for guessing what we were going to be doing today. Take one and hand the rest along, Lucinda, she says, passing them to the girl nearest to her.
She does as she says, and the flowers pass along the two rows of seated students, until we all have one. Now we've all got a dead flower.
Fantastic. Now, I want you to place the stem of the flower to the ground. You will call on your mark and try to reconnect your flower to the ground by growing its roots,
she explains. I lay my flower down onto the ground, keeping a hand on it as I picture the earth mark in my head. A leaf curled into a circle. It's one of the smaller marks, usually coming out a lot smaller on people's skin than the others. Calling on the mark and placing my other hand on the ground next to the flower, I'm waiting for something to happen. When the roots don't immediately grow, and the flower doesn't spring back into life, I huff and sit back, glancing around at the rest of the class. They appear to be having more success than I am. Some of them have already got the roots grown back, whereas others have completed the exercise and have pretty live-looking flowers in front of them. I put my hands back on the flower, covering where the stem meets the ground. Maybe if I can't actually see it, it'll work better. I call on the mark again, feeling it respond to my call this time. I push as much energy into the plant as I can all at once, not wanting to be the last to finish the task we have been given. A bird cries overhead, and I look up, making sure it's not flying over me. It would just be my luck if it shit on my head. I try and spot the bird, but can't see it anywhere.
Kenzie,
Logan says, dragging my attention to him. I turn to face him. What? I ask.
What are you doing? The ground...
He trails off. I look down at the ground, lifting my hands away. My flower has grown roots and come to life, but all the grass within 10 feet of me has grown too. Thick, lush and deep green, nothing like the state it was in just moments before. I notice the grass is still growing, flowers shooting out from the ground, the effect spreading even further. The whole class has turned to face me, the direct center of the circle of green. I release the hold on the mark in my mind, stopping the flow of magic.
Well, there is no need to show off, Mackenzie, the teacher says, but she's smiling now.
Maybe I'm forgiven for being late.
Shit, Kenzie, were you even trying?
Logan whispers.
Kind of. I was trying to do it quickly, so I pushed more energy into it. I'm not sure how the rest of this happened.
I trail off, looking at the thick sea of green around me.
Energy has to go somewhere, I guess. The flower didn't need any more, so the excess energy spread and gave life to everything else.
He supplies.
That would be correct, Logan,
the teacher cuts in, having made her way across to us so quietly I hadn't noticed her approach.
You will have to be careful with your gift, Mackenzie. Although it is good that the earth responds so easily to you, things are meant to die. We respect nature's cycle, for the most part, just giving it helping hands along the way. So, don't go bringing every dull field to life now. She jokes.
I won't, I answer anyway.
Good,
she replies to me. She then directs her attention to the whole class again.
We will now focus on what is normally the showier aspect of the earth power, manipulation.
She goes back to her black bag and pulls out some smooth black stones, handing one to each of us.
Place the stone on the ground in front of you, she instructs.
I place mine on the ground next to Logan's.
This is just like moving rocks, right?
I ask Logan softly.
Pretty much, but some people can bring a whole house down, and some can cause large-scale earthquakes,
he replies. I nod my head, having heard about a huge castle once brought to ruins by an earth-marked power.
All I want you to do for now, class, is to bring the stone into your hand. For those of you with the air marks, no cheating and using the air to bring it to you, she explains.
Everyone affirms their agreement with mumbles.
Oh, and Mackenzie,
she asks.
Yes, miss?
Try not to cause an earthquake, she replies dryly. I make no promises, I quip, holding my hand out towards my rock. This time I try not to focus on what everyone else is doing, and concentrate my focus solely onto my rock. I try to make it roll to me, calling on my earth mark as I'm picturing that curved leaf in my head. Nothing. It doesn't even twitch,
Cautiously, I push more power into my call. I wait for a moment, expecting something to happen, but nothing. I try pushing more energy into it, slowly at first, but then just shoving as much into the damn rock as I can. I can feel sweat beading on my forehead. No matter how much I push into it, nothing happens. Not a damn thing.
Are you okay, Kenzie?
Logan asks. It's not working, I reply, releasing the pull on my power.
Sometimes people can only use one side of the earth power, he explains softly.
I know that, but I guess I didn't think I'd be one of them, I reply. He brushes a strand of hair from my face and tucks it behind my ear.
You don't have to be good at everything, he says.
I guess, I reply, feeling a little bummed. No earthquakes for me, I suppose.
Hey, don't look so glum. You might still be able to. Maybe you just need to practice.
I know, it's just everything else has kind of come pretty easily.
Maybe you have to struggle with the rest of us mere mortals now, he teases.
I roll my eyes. And then I find myself looking at him, noticing how his shirt clings tightly against his broad frame. With a body like his, he looks anything but a mere mortal.
What are you thinking? He asks me.
Nothing, I snap. Why do you ask?
Because your eyes seem to glaze over.
It was the same look Lot gets when there's food, he teases. It was so not, I mutter.
So, you're not hungry?
He asks, leaning back and incidentally giving me an even more impressive view, as his arms tense from leaning back on them. A little, I admit, but it's not for food. He smiles a little knowingly at me, before turning his gaze forward again. I let out a deep breath and do the same. Chapter 25. Kenzie.
Are you going to talk to me?
East asks me for the fourth time since I walked into air class. I'm actually not late for once, but the teacher is. We have all been waiting for 15 minutes now, and he or she is a no-show. I try for the 10th time to turn my phone on, but it's not working. All I can see is my reflection across the cracked screen. My dark hair is all over the place, curly from the plait I had it in last night, and my pale eyes look tired.
Kenz,
East says my name softly, and I glance over at him as he leans across his desk. I want to forgive him, but I'm still so mad that I can't trust myself to respond to him at the moment. It really doesn't help that East looks amazing as usual today, with his wavy hair looking soft, and his warm eyes watching me closely. Why can't he look tired or less attractive and easier to ignore? I just turn my head away and lean back in my chair, twirling my phone around on the table.
Right, East replies.
Just when I think he is going to leave it and get that I don't want to speak to him, he stands on his desk and claps his hands. Everyone in the room looks at him as they go silent. We all watch on as he flips through his phone, and then starts playing some music I don't recognize.
I'm an idiot, the biggest idiot in the world. I said something really stupid and regretted it the moment I said it. So, I'm going to do anything, including begging or stripping, to get the lovely Kenzie to forgive me. I messed up and I got the wrong impression when, in reality, I was just jealous.
He tells me and the entire class. Some part of me wants to see if he would actually strip in front of the whole class, but then he could get in a lot of trouble for this. I just raise an eyebrow, and he grins at me. I don't think you would strip, East, I laugh, feeling my cheeks going bright red, and he grins down at me. East knows what he is doing to me, and most of me is embarrassed, and another small part is impressed that he cares enough to do this.
That sounded like a challenge, Kenzie,
East says, and slowly pulls his shirt off over his head and drops it on my table, as some of the girls in the room stand up and move closer to watch.
I don't take my eyes off East as I pick up his shirt and shake my head.
Okay, okay, I get it. You're sorry.
I laugh as he starts unbuttoning his jeans, and I can't help but stare at his naked chest. Fucking hell, he looks amazing with no shirt on. I'm half tempted not to give him his shirt back and actually let him strip out of all his clothes.
I embarrassed you and fucked up yesterday, so I'm going to get naked in front of the whole class and give the school something else to talk about.
He tells me quietly, making me wonder if he planned this and if anyone else knew. They really should have stopped him. I'm a simple girl. I would have been happy with chocolate and a foot rub.
East, I forgive you. You don't have to do that.
I hiss as he starts pushing his jeans down slowly, in time to the music, and I laugh when I hear a girl shout over,
"Take it off!"
she calls, and the whole class starts cheering. I can't blame them. East is one of the hottest guys in the academy. I'm sure most of the girls in the school wouldn't have a problem with him stripping for them. East smirks down at me, just as his jeans fall to his ankles, showing off his tight black boxers and the impressive package I can see. I pull my eyes away.
What in the gods is going on in here?
I look around East, seeing Mr. Leyen standing in the doorway. The room goes instantly quiet, only the sound of the music still playing on East's phone making any sound. I lean over, turning the music off and handing East his phone back. Mr. Leyen walks further into the room, and I can see that he has on a long, thick black cloak, and his hood is down, showing off his long white hair and beady eyes. I try not to laugh at the disgusted look he is throwing everyone in the room as they go back to their seats.
Put your shirt back on and get out of my class now!
Mr. Leyen snaps, and I hold in a smile when East laughs, pulling his jeans up and jumps off the table.
I'm the biggest idiot for many reasons, but give me another chance. Please, Kenz.
He asks me, ignoring everyone else in the room, and I sigh before nodding.
Out!
Mr. Leyen shouts again as East takes his shirt from me and winks.
I have to stay to watch Miss Crow.
East reminds Mr. Leyen when he gets to the door, and I watch as they both stare at each other for a second. I can't see Mr. Leyen's expression, but he doesn't look happy.
I am perfectly qualified to make sure Miss Crow doesn't lose control of her gifts. Now, out, and expect detention for the rest of the year,
Mr. Leyen says, and East nods, giving me a slightly worried look before walking out. It's strange to be without one of them around, but I know East couldn't have stayed in this class, and I'm sure I won't lose control of air. I couldn't even use it the other day.
Your usual teacher isn't well, so you have me for your first class and maybe some others. I'm Mr. Leyen, the headmaster of this academy, and I'm sure you have seen me around or heard of me.
He says, his tone downright cocky, like he expects everyone to know exactly who he is and be in awe of him.
I have 10 marks, one of which is air. Can someone tell me something about the air mark?
He asks again in that cocky tone, and there's silence around the room, until a guy at the front puts his hand up and then starts speaking. Air is extremely difficult to use on its own, but works better with other element-marked powers.
Very good. And yes, you are right. All elements can mix. Some make others stronger, and some can cancel each other out. Fire and air is destructive. And I wouldn't recommend mixing those for a while,
Mr. Leyen says and gives me a pointed look. I'm never going to live that one down.
Water and air mix perfectly. Protection wards can stop extreme attacks from the air mark. Anyone care to tell me what happens when you mix earth and air?
He asks, and everyone is silent, so I put a hand up and wait for him to nod before I answer. Tornadoes. Some of the biggest tornadoes around the world have been caused by Marked using those powers wrong, My mother used to tell me that they shouldn't be used together at all, unless you are certain you can control it.
You are right, Miss Crow. Now, open your textbooks and turn to page 40. I want you to read the next 5 chapters and write down the important notes.
I pull the textbook on my desk towards me and find the page, only glancing up once before reading and seeing Mr. Leyen watching me. A strange look crossing over his face.
Miss Crow, please wait,
Mr. Leyen says as I stand up at the end of class and put my phone in my pocket. Gods, what now? I pick my notes up off the table, folding the paper and sliding it into my coat pocket. The textbook is ridiculously boring and filled with useless information on the airmark. I can't see how I can use any of what I wrote down today. Mr. Leyen just sat at the front of class, messing on his iPad. I bet he was playing a game by the way he was concentrating. Sure, I reply, walking towards him at the front of the classroom as everyone else leaves.
I wish to show you something. Come with me, he says, walking towards the door.
I look away, groaning as I look out the window at the sun setting. I just want to get back to my room, steal Mr. Daniel's junk food, and collapse. Today has been a long day, and after this, it's going to be dark when I walk back through the woods.
Come, Miss Crow,
Mr. Leyen snaps as he holds the door open. I walk over and then follow him as he takes me down the busy corridors and towards the back of the academy. We walk into the empty hall, and he closes the doors behind us. The room is slowly getting dark, and I haven't been in here since I first got my marks. The 12 marks on the wall seem to glow almost from the orange light of the sunset. I look back at Mr. Leyen with a clear, unspoken question. Why are we here?
I know what the 12th mark is, he says as he walks over,
and I take a step back when I see the threatening look in his eyes. His words almost shock me in silence. What is it? I ask hesitantly, and he laughs as he reaches into his cloak, pulling out a long, silver dagger. The memory of the vision comes flooding back to me, reminding me of Enzo's words.
I'm going to kill that teacher for this.
You don't want to do this. Not really, I plead, putting my hands up, and he only laughs, dropping the dagger and using his air power to hold it in the air. I look at the dagger as he twirls it in circles, like it's a game and not that he is going to try to kill me. I can't die like this. I think back to what happened in my vision and know there's a chance Enzo will come for me. The future is never certain and changes all the time, but I have to believe he's coming.
It's nothing personal, Miss Crow, but you're too powerful, and I won't let you destroy the world. The council and everyone who knows the truth of your power has gone mad keeping you alive, he says,
and I instinctively put my hands up to stop the dagger as it flies through the air towards me. I call my protection mark, imagining the shield like I saw Locke do, but it's no use. The dagger goes straight through the ward and into my stomach, making me scream out in pain. Everything slows as I look down, watching as the dagger slides out of my stomach and flies away again.
I am sorry for this, Miss Crow, but there is a reason there is no one alive with 12 powers,
I hear Mr. Leyen say, and I force myself to look up as he raises his hand, shooting streams of fire around the room. I don't need to look around to see he is setting the whole hall on fire.
You won't get away with this. They will know it's you,
I gasp out, placing my hand on my stomach and pressing down as I struggle to keep standing from the pain.
I don't plan to stay around and see, Miss Crow. It doesn't matter in the end, as they will only think the rebels or someone else did this to you, not me, he says,
his voice confident and cocky once more. The flames around the room grow fiercer. I watch in horror as he walks out of the room, pulling the door shut behind him, trapping me in with the fire and slowly building smoke. I slowly walk towards the door, feeling the heat from the flames, every movement sending pain through my stomach.
Enzo!
I breathe out when I see him open the door, his dark eyes meeting mine, and the fire in the room seems to reflect in his eyes. Black eyes and flame filled with anger. It's the last thought I have before everything goes black. Chapter 26. Kenzie. Burning. My marks are all burning. Vaguely aware of the sounds of screaming, I finally realize the tortured sounds are coming from my own throat. Twitching where I lie on the ground, I look up at the bright, shining plane of light above me. There are people gathered around in a circle, all dressed in marked, ceremonial robes. Their hoods are up and covering their faces. The pain radiating from my marks is unbearable. Kenzie? A voice says softly, but it's not coming from here. A person steps forward towards the plane of light, and everyone standing around seems to lean forward in anticipation. Kenz, wake up! The voice speaks again, but it sounds closer this time. My body thrashes around on the cold, hard ground. I need to stop them. Kenzie! A different voice shouts, shaking me. My eyes flare open, and I look up at the people standing around me. I'm lying on my bed in Mr. Daniel's cabin. How did I get here? The person with their hands on me is Logan. His forehead is creased in worry, and there is blood on his shirt. I look up and notice a few of them have blood on them. Enzo is the worst. His shirt looks soaked in it.
Are you guys okay?
I croak. I try to sit up, but a pain slams through my stomach. I cry out from the pain and retreat down, my hand clutching at my middle.
Shit, don't move, Kenz,
East says, resting a hand on my shoulder, as if to enforce my lack of moving. No worries there, buddy. I am not going anywhere.
What happened?
I ask, my head feeling confused. There were people in a circle. Or was that a dream?
You were stabbed. Mr. Leon is the main suspect. Enzo saw him fleeing the scene, and he hasn't been found anywhere since.
Mr. Daniels explains. I try to get my head around that. A few images flicker through my head, but it's all still too distorted.
Any reason? Nobody has healed me?
I ask, gesturing down at my stomach wrapped in bandages. I look across at the medical equipment. Someone gave me stitches.
We tried,
Enzo answers through gritted teeth.
We think the dagger used to stab you was laced with marked powers,
Locke says, sitting at the foot of the bed.
How?
I ask, having not heard of that being possible before.
We believe the dagger is one of the original artifacts we have from Arisiadia,
Mr. Daniels answers.
We healed you the best we can, and we used human medicine combined with it where our powers wouldn't do the job. You will heal, but it will take a few days,
he adds.
Fuck, it hurts,
I mumble, resting my head back against the pillow. The door crashes open, and all the guys move as one, turning to face the entrant. They all visibly relax upon seeing who has entered.
Why the hell did nobody tell me you brought her here?
Kelly screeches. Silence from all the guys.
I've been looking everywhere for where you could have taken her since Enzo ran off to get Kenzie after my vision,
she explains, moving across the room to me.
Hey, girls,
I greet her, trying to manage a smile through the pain.
You look awful,
she says, reaching down to give me a hug. I wrap one arm around her back, returning the embrace.
Thanks. Just what I wanted to hear,
I reply sarcastically as she pulls away. She gives me a rueful smile and steps back, glaring at the men standing around me.
Not one of you thought to call me,
she questions.
We were busy,
East says, gesturing to me.
I could have helped, she replies, narrowing her eyes on him.